A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack the core ideas from really significant works.
And today, we're tackling a book that, honestly, it stays with you long after you read it.
It really does. We're diving into Anne Fadiman's The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down from 1997. It's this incredibly powerful piece of literary journalism.
Powerful and, I think, deeply unsettling. It's about a head-on collision between cultures, specifically within the American medical system.
Yeah. And the thing is, its relevance hasn't faded at all, has it?
Yeah.
It uses this one heartbreaking story of a Hmong child, Leah Lee,
mm-hmm.
to really shine a light on a huge systemic problem. What happens when institutions, even with good intentions, fail to understand the people they're meant to serve? It explores how cultural misunderstandings can lead to, well, tragedy. Exactly. So our goal today is to kind of extract the essential knowledge from this story. We want to understand the systemic breakdowns, the history behind it all, and the key lessons Fadiman draws about moving towards a more collaborative model of care, maybe.
Sounds good. Huh? Let's start with the author, Anne Fadiman. What's her background? Why was she suited to tell this particular very sensitive story?
Well, Fadiman is a really respected American journalist and editor known for her careful, engaging style. But I think for this book, her role went way beyond just reporting facts. She really positioned herself as a cultural translator.
The commitment she showed is just astounding, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Spending 8 years researching this in Merced, California.
8 years, yeah.
Talking extensively with everyone involved, the Lee family, the doctors, social workers, the wider Horn community there.
Yeah.
That tells you she wasn't after some quick, easy story.
Not at all. And what's really key to her approach is that she deliberately avoids taking sides.
Yeah.
She doesn't point fingers and say, it was the parents' fault or it was the doctor's fault. Instead, she just lays out these multiple viewpoints very empathetically, showing how different people experience the exact same events in totally different ways. It makes these complex anthropological ideas feel very human, very accessible.
And that really sets up the central conflict perfectly. I mean, the title itself says so much. The spirit catches you and you fall down. That's the English translation of the Hmong name for Leah's condition, Quagdab Peg.
Yeah, that phrase is like a doorway into these two completely incompatible ways of seeing the world. On one hand, you've got Western medicine.
Uh-huh.
For Lee's doctors, epilepsy is purely a neurological problem, a brain misfiring. It needs very precise medication on a strict schedule to control the physical symptoms.
Okay, logical from their perspective.
Totally. But then you have the Hmong perspective. For Lee's parents, Nau Khao and Pho Lee, the seizures were, yes, absolutely terrifying.
Of course.
But they also signified something else, something spiritual. Quagdab Peg could mean that Leah had the potential to become a Tex-Neeb.
A shaman, right?
Exactly, a healer. So this condition wasn't just an illness to be eradicated. It was seen as a kind of difficult spiritual gift almost, a sign of distinction.
Wow. Okay, when you put those two views side by side like that,
yeah,
you can immediately see how conflict was almost inevitable.
Yeah.
The tragedy the book documents is how this gap, this inability to bridge these worldviews despite everyone genuinely wanting the best for Leah, led directly to just catastrophic outcomes.
It really makes you ask, how could this happen? How could dedicated doctors and loving parents end up in such a terrible situation?
And Fadiman's answer seems to be systemic. It wasn't individual malice, right? It was the failure of the American medical system itself, its rigidity, its inability to accommodate or even really see non-Western ways of understanding health and illness.
Institutional inflexibility. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so let's walk through the story a bit. Where did things start to go wrong? Leah Lee gets diagnosed with epilepsy shortly after birth in Merced.
Right. And the cultural and language barriers at the hospital, Merced Community Medical Center, or MCMC, were there from day one. Huge barrier.
And this immediately led to the problem of, quote, compliance.
Yes. That word is so loaded in this context. The doctors prescribed this complex medication schedule, multiple drugs, specific times, specific doses.
Uh-huh.
But Leah's parents, the Lees, they really struggled with it. And you have to understand why. They couldn't read the English instructions easily. They didn't understand the potential long-term side effects in the way the doctors did.
And they had their own fears about what these powerful Western medicines might be doing to Leah's spirit, right?
Exactly. They weren't just being negligent. From their perspective, they were trying to protect her soul from potentially harmful substances. They were acting out of love and fear based on their own beliefs.
But the doctors, Dr. Neil Ernst and Dr. Peggy Felt, well, they saw something very different.
They saw parents not following critical, life-saving medical advice. They interpreted the missed doses and the parents' hesitation as negligence, simple noncompliance.
So a total breakdown in communication.
Mm.
Each side completely misinterpreting the other's motives.
Completely. And Fadiman argues you can't understand the Lee's reaction without understanding the history. Chapters 4 through 12 are just crucial here. She steps back and gives this vital context about the Fmong people.
Yeah, their experience as refugees from the secret war in Laos. This isn't just background color. It's central to the story.
Absolutely. The Fadiman were allies of the U.S. during the Vietnam War. They fought alongside American forces. But when the U.S. pulled out,
they were abandoned, left to face persecution by the new communist government. Many had to flee for their lives, escaping across the Mekong River under horrific conditions.
That history, the betrayal, the trauma, the loss it fostered this deep, and you have to say, entirely justified mistrust of large, powerful institutions, especially American government or medical authorities.
So when American doctors at MCMC started talking about compliance, issuing warnings, threatening consequences,
it tapped right into that historical fear. It wasn't just about medicine anymore. It felt like another powerful, impersonal system trying to control their lives, maybe even harm their child, echoing past traumas.
And that fear, that mistrust, it escalates things to a crisis point.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors, frustrated by what they see as the Lee's failure to give Leah her medication properly,
they end up calling Child Protective Services.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this leads to Leah being removed from her parents' care and placed in foster care for a time.
Which, for the Lees, must have felt like the ultimate betrayal, like the state literally kidnapping their child.
Exactly. An incomprehensible, devastating act. It just confirmed all their deepest fears about this foreign system and its power.
And the terrible irony is what happened while Leah was separated from her family.
That's the most tragic part. During that period, Leah suffered what the family called the Big One, a massive, unrelenting seizure. It led to septic shock, severe brain damage, and ultimately left her in what doctors diagnosed as a persistent vegetative state.
Wow.
The very attempt to enforce compliance through state power resulted in the worst possible outcome.
It's just heartbreaking. But Fadiman doesn't just leave us with the tragedy. She analyzes why it happened, right? What were the deeper lessons?
Yeah, she shifts focus. She points out that the doctors were focused entirely on the disease, the symptoms, the tests, the neurological problem. They were treating the epilepsy.
But they weren't treating Leah Lee, the person, or understanding her family's context.
Exactly. They completely failed to listen to or maybe even ask about the family story, their history, their beliefs, their fears, what they hoped for Leah.
So it wasn't about bad people. The doctors cared. The parents loved Leah fiercely.
Absolutely not about bad people. Fadiman is clear on that. It was a systemic failure. The tragedy happened because the institution lacked cultural brokers, lacked flexibility, and defaulted to its own way as the only way. It prioritized its procedures over understanding the patient's world.
And then there's the aftermath, which is just, well, it defies easy explanation, doesn't it?
It really does. After the Big One, the medical prognosis was grim. Doctors predicted Leah wouldn't live long.
But she did.
She did. Her parents took her home. They cared for her constantly, lovingly, using their own Hmong practices alongside some Western medicine, focusing on her comfort, her spirit. And Leah lived for another 26 years.
26 years?
Yeah.
After being essentially written off by the medical system.
Yeah. It's astonishing. And it implicitly challenges so many Western assumptions about prognosis, about quality of life, about what constitutes meaningful care. It showed the power of love and culturally specific care in a way the hospital couldn't really measure or value.
So moving from the specifics of Leah's story, what are the big takeaway themes here? What should we, you know, really hold on to?
Well, I think theme one is about the limits of good intentions. It's a hard lesson, but Fadiman shows how decent, well-meaning people, doctors, parents, can still create tragedy if that crucial element of cultural understanding is missing.
So it forces us to look at the impact of our actions, not just our intentions.
Precisely. Intent isn't enough. And that leads to theme two, which is this idea of cultural humility being more important than just cultural competence.
What's the difference there?
Well, competence can sometimes imply you can just learn a checklist of facts about a culture, right? Like, Hmong people believe X.
Okay.
Fadiman argues that's not enough and can even lead to stereotyping. Humility, on the other hand, is about a lifelong commitment. It means constantly examining your own assumptions, recognizing the power dynamics.
Like the doctor holding more institutional power than the patient.
Exactly. And approaching every single interaction with a willingness to learn from that specific person about their unique beliefs and experiences. It's about asking, not telling, being a student of the other person's perspective.
That feels much deeper. And it connects to the third theme, doesn't it? This critique of compliance versus concordance.
Yes. The medical system often demands passive compliance. Just do what the doctor says. That clearly failed Leah. Fadiman, drawing on others, proposes concordance instead. It's a collaborative model. Think of it like negotiating a treatment plan together.
A partnership.
Exactly. Where the doctor explains their view, the patient explains their fears, their goals, and they work out a plan they can both genuinely agree on and follow. It respects the patient's autonomy and knowledge.
And that model feels applicable way beyond medicine, really. Any situation where there's a power imbalance or different perspectives.
Totally. It's about communication built on mutual respect.
Fadiman uses some really striking phrases and quotes to kind of crystallize these big ideas, doesn't she?
Oh, definitely. The title itself, like we said, The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down, it just perfectly captures that clash between seeing something as a disease versus seeing it as having spiritual weight.
Yeah. And then there's her own reflection, kind of her thesis statement for the whole book.
Yeah.
I've come to believe that Leah's life was not ruined by septic shock or non-compliant parents, but by cross-cultural misunderstanding.
Right. Pinpointing the failure as systemic communicative, not about individual blame.
And maybe the most moving one is from Dr. Neil Ernst, one of Leah's main doctors, looking back later.
Uh-huh.
He says, I wish I could have been more of a cultural broker. I felt like a failure. We all failed.
Wow. That shows such a profound shift in understanding, doesn't it? The realization that understanding the culture wasn't just some nice-to-have add-on. It was essential to actually providing effective medical care. It was a medical necessity they missed.
So thinking practically, how can people actually apply these lessons? Especially, say, healthcare workers.
Well, one concrete tool Fadiman discusses comes from the medical anthropologist Arthur Kleinman. He developed what he calls the 8 questions.
Okay.
They're designed to get at the patient's own understanding, their explanatory model of their illness before you jump into treatment. So instead of just, are you taking the pills? You ask things like, what do you think caused this problem? Or what worries you most about this illness? What kind of treatment do you think you should receive?
So opening the door for their perspective right from the start.
Exactly. It shifts the dynamic immediately.
And what about outside of healthcare? Like for teachers, social workers, managers?
I think the lesson from Jeanine Hilt, the social worker in the book who did build trust with the Lees, is key. It's about building genuine, respectful, personal relationships first.
Not just relying on your institutional authority.
Right. Especially when dealing with communities who have reason to mistrust institutions. You have to be that cultural broker. Build that bridge person by person. Earn trust.
It also means, I guess, challenging our own ideas of what's just common sense.
Oh, definitely. The Lees operated with a system of common sense that was perfectly logical and deeply meaningful within their culture. It just wasn't the hospital's common sense. And we have to remember how historical trauma, like the Haibong refugee experience, shapes how people interact with authority today. Demanding things might trigger fear. Approaching with humility might open a door.
When you think back on the book, what's the one thing that really sticks with you or surprised you the most?
For me, honestly, it's those 26 years. The sheer dedication and love the Lee family showed Leah, maintaining her life and dignity in their own way, long after the medical system had essentially given up. It's such a powerful statement about forms of care and value that often get overlooked.
Yeah, that's profound. What about you?
I think for me, it's the crystallization that cultural understanding or maybe cultural humility isn't a soft skill. It's not optional.
Right.
In situations like Leah's, it's fundamental. It can be life-saving. The tragedy here wasn't inevitable. It stemmed from the system's failure to adapt. And that actually gives some hope because systems can be changed. We can learn to move away from that top-down paternalistic model towards something truly collaborative, something that honors the whole person's story, spirit, and all.
A powerful call for change, definitely. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.